All right, so if you will take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119, verse 73 is where we are. Now, this is, I've been doing these messages from Psalm 119 for the communion service. It's not your normal type of passages. It's not really a redemption passage as such, but it is, I don't have that on yet. Okay. It is talking about a man's relationship with God, a redeemed man's relationship with God. And so that's why I decided to use these. It's in some ways what we're looking at is the fruit of redemption. What God did for the psalmist. Many people think it is David. We don't know for sure who wrote it. It is a psalm of high art because every eight verses begins with a new letter of the Hebrew alphabet in order. So the first section is called Aleph, that's the first letter. Then Beit, that's the second section. We're all the way down in verse 73 to Yod. Yod is the, remember when Jesus said, not a jot nor a tittle, so y'all depart from the law. Well, the jot is the Yod. It's the smallest letter of the Greek alphabet. And if you have your Bible open, you can see in the heading there, you'll see the English word yod, and you have that little squiggle. It's the Y sound in Hebrew, and that is the yod. Okay, now, so every word in the Hebrew of this stanza, every line begins with that letter. So that's, and then the next section, it's the kaf is the next one. So that's just how he does it. All right. So he's expressing a mature relationship with God in this section. This spirit is the fruit of walking with God and accepting the lessons of God's word. And the verses deal with the problem of evil. Now it starts off, your hands made me. But it deals with the problem of evil. Now man began questioning God's word in the garden. So we know that. That was the temptation. Has God said? Right? So man began questioning God's word. But men have questioned the goodness of God for many years. I don't know when it started. Probably early on. Maybe it was Cain. I don't know. Questioning the goodness of God. But we have questions that people will raise. Why are there wars? Why is there pain? And what about evil? Why is there evil in the world? Men wonder how a good God can rule over a world where pain and evil and disasters and hate and wars are regular parts of it. So the psalmist knows the answer to these questions. He asks God to help him make a difference in his world. So we're going to read the psalm, and then I'm just going to leave the text up. We're going to just talk about the sections. We're just going to think about them. This isn't a homiletically correct message. I feel like I'm just sort of touching on the surface of this. I'm reacting to the words that we have before us. So your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. May those who fear you see me and be glad because I wait for your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Oh, may your loving kindness comfort me according to your word and to your servant. May your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie. But I shall meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I will not be ashamed. So you can see he brings up affliction and judgment. But he doesn't start there. He starts with this observation. He has confidence in his maker. Your hands made me and fashioned me. The words and the language here are an echo of Genesis 2:7, where it says, then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, this was what God did for the first man, and then we know how God made man so that with the marriage of Adam and Eve and then the subsequent generations, that original creation is passed down genetically to every new creature, every new son or daughter that comes from a human union. And the and God, so in truth, we're all descended of Adam. We're all descended of that first man whom God formed out of the dust of the ground, who he fashioned into a human being. God is over all everything. He's over us. He has made us for a relationship with him. He has made us for understanding. So the psalmist says, give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. The implication is he made you made me so that I could understand, so give me understanding. But it's not simply, God didn't make me simply so that I could be wise and know many things and be skillful in the world and be successful and so forth. He made me that way so that those who fear you see me and be glad because I wait for your word. So the purpose of our understanding, the purpose of our fashioning, the purpose of the gifts that God has given us in our human frame, every one of us has different talents, every one of us has different interests. God made us that way so that we could be a benefit to other people. May those who fear you see me and be glad. What God has done in you is a benefit to me. I see God working in your life. You know, if we were to take snapshots of your life from 10 years ago, 5 years ago, now, 5 years in the future, 10 years in the future, one would hope there's some kind of progress and growth. And if you have come to know God and you are getting understanding, when I watch somebody who has done that, there may be in a stage in their life where there's a lot of misunderstanding still. There's some understanding. They've come to Christ. They've put their faith in Him. There's been some changes. But 5 years down the road, I expect there will be more changes. And when I see that, what am I going to be? I'm going to be glad. Right? So when God works in me, okay, I think you should be glad. Right? Now, I think it's a little harder. You know, some of you only know me for a little while. I can think back. When we were meeting in the View Rail Community Hall, 1986. We started in there in August of 1986. So if you were to come there in August, or say you were to come in August of 1987, we'd been there a year. Maureen had come from Alberta, I think, I can't remember what year. Was that that summer you came? And then we had a handful of people, and Maureen and Debbie and I were probably the last ones of that. Sally was there. Marlene came not quite then, but fairly soon. Okay. Now, I look back, I have some of my messages from back then. I'm not going to show them to you. All right? I read them. I think, oh, man. Okay? Now, you should be glad about what God has done in me, just as I'm glad in what God has done and is doing in you. God made us so that we would be a benefit spiritually to other people. That's the point. The reason we're growing, I mean, it's good to grow and to gain some understanding and not make the same mistakes, you know, maybe after the 5 millionth time, maybe the next time, not going to make that one again. Okay? But the idea is we want to grow. It is for our own benefit, but really the benefit is for other people. That's a very mature spiritual attitude. That's what he's expressing here. So then he goes from there to his afflictions. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. And so he's describing some kind of situation. He's using a word of affliction. He's also using the word of judgment. Now, we were talking this morning about Paul and the thorn of the flesh. God allowed that to happen to Paul. God, there are things that happen in your life that are painful. They're afflictions. Now, Maybe they aren't directly a judgment for sin, or maybe they are. Maybe they're just something God has allowed to shape you, to form you. All right, he says, now I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. So here he is. He says, Lord, give me understanding in the first verse. All right, what do I know about my afflictions? God is faithful. God is faithful in my afflictions. His judgments are righteous. I'm not concerned that God doesn't know what he's doing. I'm not concerned that God isn't allowing things in my life because, you know, he's sort of got it in for me and he wants to give me a jab. That's not the way God is. God allows those things in my life to shape me into what he wants me to be. That's part of how I get understanding. And so he's talking about these afflictions, these presence of evil. Why is evil in the world? Now look at the things that are going on in politics. Look at things that are going on in just the moral climate of our culture. And it's distressing. You know, you look at what people are doing and it just seems, how could they be so evil? But God knows. Maybe it's going to cause us pain. We may have a government that's going to cause us pain. They're going to make us pay taxes we don't want to pay. They're going to make policies that are going to put us as a nation into trouble. Whatever it is, God is in control. God is faithful. His judgments are righteous. And if he calls us to be suffering through some kind of affliction like that, then God is right. And he'll take care of us. So then he says in verse 76, I called this the plea to the shepherd. These are the prayer requests. So he says, there is a prayer request, or a prayer, give me understanding. That was verse 1, or 73. I want to say verse 1 as if it's a psalm. I noticed in my notes, actually, some of these sections I'll start doing verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 8, and I'm in like 56 or something. I'm all messed up by Psalm 119. But anyway, so there's give me understanding in that first verse of this stanza, verse 73. But now comes these requests. These are the requests of affliction. The understanding one is, that's always, I always want to grow. But now with the afflictions, oh, may your loving kindness, this is chesed, covenant love, may your loving kindness comfort me according to your word to your servant. God has made promises to us. And those promises are what we live by. May your compassion come to me that I may live, verse 77. For your law is my delight. Okay. May the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie, but I shall meditate on your precepts. So, Lord, when we are in these troubles and this is the mature attitude. All right, Lord, sustain me with your loving kindness. Have compassion on me. And make those who are causing the trouble, the arrogant, to be ashamed. They aren't being truthful. In the meantime, I'm going to depend on your word. I'm going to rely on your word. And all of this, his devotion is to God's word and his meditation is on his precepts. We see Psalm 119 is the great psalm of the word of God. So he says, he wants to learn from your commandments, verse 73. I wait for your word, verse 74. May your loving kindness comfort me according to your word. Your law is my delight. I shall meditate on your precepts. He speaks about the Lord's testimonies in verse 79. And he speaks about his statutes in verse 80. It's all based on the word. The mature believer relies on the word of God. There may be afflictions. There may be troubles. But those things are merely external goads to drive me to God's word. I want to reflect the image and glory of God in my life. I want to let his word shape how I think about my troubles. I want to let his word discipline my mind so that I interact with troubling situations instead of reacting to troubling situations and reacting out of passion rather than out of the Spirit. I want to be walking in the Spirit, and it comes through a deep relationship with God through His Word. So the plea to the shepherd, he is calling for the shepherd to act, but in the same breath he is saying, I am going to stay with your word. I'm going to commit myself to your word. And then he comes back at the very end with this prayer for ministry. May those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. Again, this is part of the theme in this section. We have that in verse 74. May those who fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for your word. As we go through afflictions, God afflicts us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that he comforts us with the comfort wherewith we shall comfort others also. I'm not quite quoting that verse right, but you know the verse that I'm talking about. And so he prays to minister to those who fear God. He prays for a blameless heart in all his troubles. So this is a man who knows God. Your hands made me and fashion me. When someone is born again, he or she might not be fully mature spiritually. The picture we have here in this stanza is someone who comes to the place where he is resting on God in his afflictions and hoping to use them to minister to others. This spirit comes through time. Now it doesn't have to be a long time. As you respond faithfully to any affliction, your spiritual response can minister to someone else who's less spiritually informed than you are. Maybe it's somebody that you know who's lost and doesn't know how to handle troubles, but you handle it by going to the Word and relying on the Word and letting the Word guide you rather than your own feelings, rather than your own circumstances. You know, your surroundings, you're letting Jesus and His Word be the guide of your life. You're putting your trust there. God has said He will never leave you nor forsake you. God has said that He will help you. Well, let's go to Him then. Let's let Him be our guide. This stanza, this sentiment, these verses are the fruit of redemption and faithfulness. You might be in a place where you think, I just can't handle it. I can't handle my afflictions. They're too hard for me. God allows you to experience pain that you are going through, and He will give you a way out. He is faithful. Your judgments are righteous. In faithfulness, you have afflicted me. But for faith to grow, it has to be put under strain. We have to see that we can trust God. We talked about Paul and that experience this morning where he had this vision, whether in the body or out of the body, he didn't know. That's the only information we have it, as we showed. It was something that happened in a period about Paul's life that the Bible is silent. It's not something that happened in any of his missionary journeys. It happened when he was in Tarsus. You know, there's things that happen in your spiritual life if you're walking with God and you're trying to follow Him. And maybe nobody else actually knows the suffering you're going through. Maybe nobody else actually sees the affliction. But if you look to the Lord and depend on the Lord, the fruit of that faith that has been stretched and has been strained and has been strengthened will make itself evident in your life as you minister to other people. God doesn't allow you to suffer afflictions you can't handle. Don't ever say, I can't handle it. Well, I guess you can't in yourself, but if you are walking with God, you can. God does allow you to suffer affliction to become a comfort to others. This is the testimony of a redeemed man. Someone who has had a recognition that he cannot make life work on his own. He has committed himself to the God of heaven. Now we're talking about an Old Testament context. In the New Testament, it is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament saint was looking toward the same sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus, although he didn't know all the details. In some ways, the Old Testament saint had to live more by faith than we do. We have all of God's plan on display in front of us, God's plan of salvation. So we have less worry than the Old Testament saint. The Old Testament saint had this sacrificial system, this way of access to God, and he had to simply trust what he knew about God. What he knew from what the priest told. What he knew from what the sacrifices symbolized. And he had to trust God. Now you can do it too, because you have the Holy Spirit, you have the whole picture, you know what salvation is, you know what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time, this afternoon, to meditate on these verses. I pray that they might be something that stirs our heart to the grace of God that is found in salvation, helps us to trust you and to walk with you in spite of the troubles that we will face in our lives. Help us to be faithful to you in all things. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.